Praise the Lord. We all use our gifts to glorify the Lord. Amen. That's what it's all about. God is good all the time. Yes, He is good. All right, let's open our Bibles today. And you should have some notes in your bulletins. You can take those out and follow along. We're going to put some of it up on the screen too. And you're also going to need your Bibles this morning, because I just put one or two verses of the passages that we're going to read. But we're going to talk about Christ's arrival foretold. Last week we talked about Christ's arrival foretold through His prophets, and we especially looked into the Old Testament and just noticed some of the really overt and succinct passages that just spoke of the coming of Jesus, where He would come, when He would come, and who he was, and what He came to do. And there's a lot more. I mean, the whole Old Testament is just a foreshadow pointing forward to the Christ and the one who would come to pay for our sins and take away the sin of the world, the one who would save us. That's what His name even means. God is salvation. Jesus, remember that. God is salvation. And so today we're going to be talking about Christ's arrival foretold. Because, man, this is like, you know, I've weighed this thing out a lot. I've thought about this, you know. Which is the more important thing to recognize? His death and burial and then resurrection, Easter, you know? I mean, that's awesome, right? But, guys, He had to come before that could happen. So how about His arrival, the incarnation, God coming and living in human flesh among us? That's exciting stuff, and it was a big deal. And it is a big deal, but it was such a big deal that God foretold it in some very special ways. And today we're going to talk about how He used His angels to foretell this event that's coming. Christ's arrival foretold by His angels. And we're going to look and we're going to kind of look at different aspects of His arrival. That holy night, that amazing holy night that we celebrate this time of the year. And I just want to think about Mary this morning. You know, there's a lot said of Mary in our world today that really isn't totally the way that it is. But I want us to recognize she is blessed among women. Amen. She was chosen by God to deliver Jesus. How incredible. What an amazing calling. But I'm just going to say this was not an easy thing she was asked to do. This was huge. Virgin birth, guys. It's like the one and only time it's ever happened. This is not the normal thing. People are going to assume the worst. And in their culture, to assume the worst on this one could cost her her life, because they stoned people who committed adultery. And so who would you send to tell Mary she's going to have a child, even as she's a virgin? You're going to have to send somebody that's going to have to be pretty convincing, aren't you? To really get the message across so that she would know, like, this is for real. This was so important, guys. God sent an angel. How many of us have ever had, like, the experience of being visited, like, in person that we knew of by an angel? And we may have been visited by angels. It talks about that, you know, in the book of Hebrews, but kind of unaware. But like, she was visited by an angel, and he even told her his name. It's incredible. It's huge. And it's all because the incarnation is so amazing and so important. God's special plan to save mankind. Jesus had to come, and He had to come in this virgin birth, and He was chosen to come through Mary. Man, this is so awesome. We're going to look in Luke chapter 1 today and look at these verses 26 and 27, which I have on the screen, but we're going to do 26 through 28. I want to look at the bigger passage. And so if you want to have your Bible open and follow along, or if you just want to listen, however works best for you, that you can soak it in. But I want us to think about this dear young woman who was betrothed to be married to Joseph, And even before they had fully consummated their marriage, even before she'd ever been with a man in a carnal way, in a sexual way, that she was going to be pregnant. This is huge. And so we'll start reading at verse 26. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we read these passages today, I pray that we would understand this isn't just some story that's floating around out there. This is the truth. This is a wonderful story. It's a true story. Whenever I was in school, as a kid, I loved true stories. I loved biographies. I loved things that I could really know they actually happened. And Lord, when I read these passages today, it's so special to me to know this actually happened. This is the most wonderful story because this is the birth of the Savior who came to save us from our sins. And this is his dear earthly mother, Mary, who's being beckoned to do the impossible. This had to be from God. Otherwise, it wouldn't work. Thank you for sending your messenger, this angel, to foretell this and to help her be assured that this was from you. Father, help us to believe you when you speak to us. And we know you're not always going to send an angel in person to each one of us when you call us to do something, but your calling is just as real on our lives. So help us, Lord, to be obedient to you just as she was. So, Lord, bless us today as we read these verses and just soak this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 26, chapter 1 of Luke. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you." And I'm going to tell you, that is the most important thing anyone could ever say of us. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you, blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. It shows her humility. What was she troubled by? She was troubled by the fact that this angel was saying, "The Lord is with you." She was so humble that she thought that sounded troubling. Are we then humble before God and realize that none of us are worthy of him using us or saving us or being with us? I think it's such a beautiful thing what we see here in these verses. And he goes on. It goes on in the account in verse 30. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Favor with God. Beloved brothers and sisters, you're here today because you have found favor with God. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Now, I'm going to tell you, her favor with God was going to cause her quite the challenge. Do y'all ever have challenges? Don't think just because you have challenges in your life that all of a sudden you don't have favor with God. In fact, to have favor with God means you will face challenges. But you will face them with him. He will be right there with you. And he will help us to grow through these challenges. In verse 31, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." What did I say at the beginning of the service that Jesus means? God is salvation. The Lord is salvation. His name was not only his name, but it was who he is. He will be great, verse 32, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob. How long? Forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Praise God. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Praise God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible. Can you say amen to that? Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Who would you send to tell Mary such an amazing thing, that a miracle was going to happen to her? Well, God chose to send the angel Gabriel. We don't see that God chooses to send angels to announce a whole lot of things in the Bible. I mean, it does happen. You know, Samson's parents were visited by an angel, these miraculous type births. You know, you'll see a messenger straight from God, straight from heaven sometimes. But I'm going to say, this was probably one of the most important messages that was ever delivered from heaven to an individual. What an amazing message that this is. But not only that, you know, we've got to understand there's other people involved in this whole situation too, right? Do you remember there was a man named Joseph who was mentioned in this as well? We're going to talk about him next, and we're going to talk about who would you send to convince Joseph not to divorce Mary when she is found with child. Who would you send? Matthew chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. We're going to be looking at the bigger passage, 18 through 25. So if you want to turn backwards to Matthew and take a look at this and the announcement of this angel. In the Luke passage, we find the angel actually just tells her what his name is. And in this Matthew passage, not so much. But I suspect it probably may have been the same angel. But nonetheless, it was an angel of God. We're going to look at Matthew 1, starting at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Many contemplate those first verses there, and especially at verse 19, where it says, not wanting to make her a public example. I'll kind of paraphrase what he could have possibly been thinking. He cared about her, and he didn't want her to not only be shamed, but to be punished, because her punishment could be great. He didn't want her to be stoned. He didn't want her to be put out or ostracized even from their society. So he was just wanting to quietly back out of this situation. All he knew is she was pregnant, and he knew he hadn't been with her. And he knew they were betrothed, which meant that they were engaged. They were they had already committed to one another, that they were going to stay pure for only each other. And I can tell you, this would be a pretty devastating thing for him to find out unless he found out some information that was supernatural. And so God, again, whenever God needs to make a strong statement, God knows how to do it. Have you guys been praying for people during this season that you'd like to see be saved? If you have, raise your hand. I've been praying for people that I want to see saved, people that are lost. Amen? Come on, I saw some hands still down. Come on, if you ain't praying for somebody that needs to be saved, you need to. If you need to pray for somebody who needs to be saved, raise your hand. Because you know what? We need to make a commitment that we're going to pray for the lost. You know, do y'all know God wants you to be a witness, but God's going to use more of a witness than just you. Can I get an amen to that? We need to pray that God would do supernatural things to speak into the people's hearts so that they would believe him. Well, my wife was a witness to me before I got saved. You guys, a lot of you know my testimony. She came to the Lord first. Boy, I'll tell you, she did everything she could to get me to believe. She's kind of grimacing right now. Can't see her face. And smiling. She did everything she could. But you know what? She could not convince me into heaven. That one person, no matter how much I loved her, no matter how powerful her words can be to me, no matter how many ways she tried to show me and other people that she used, and man, she had, y'all remember the days of cassette tapes? Does anybody remember cassette tapes? Okay, we're going to date this whole process a little bit. She had piles of cassette tapes to make me listen to whenever I would get home from work. But you know, all of that combined could not convince me to become a citizen of heaven. It was very useful and it was important, and I praise God for it, and praise God that she didn't give up. But do you know what was the most powerful thing she said to me during that whole year and a half process? She turned around and she said, "I'm not going to argue with you anymore. I'm going to pray for you." And she said this little, just a few word prayer to me, to God in my presence. She said, "God, open his eyes." And she walked away. And I'm just going to tell you, that night, I sat down on the couch, just me and God, and I said, "God, if you're real, I got to know it. God, if you're real, I need to see it. God, if you really are, if Jesus is really the only way, I need to know it." And I'm going to tell you, that night, God spoke to me into my heart in a way that my wife couldn't and no one else in the world could have done. Pray that God would speak. Pray that God, if need be, would send an angel. If God need be, would speak through them, through a dream. Whatever he needs to do so that that individual knows he's real. Speak through sickness. Speak through an accident. Speak through discomfort. Speak so that they will know. That's what we need to see happen. God came to this troubled husband-to-be. And in their day, it was just as much a husband as if they had already had a public, ceremony. They just hadn't consummated the marriage yet. But Joseph, being a just man, had a mind to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." Wow. "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name," let's say it together, "Jesus. And he will save his people from their sins." So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, "God with us." Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. An angel announced this birth, foretold it to Joseph. Both Joseph and Mary were told exactly what to name this child. It was a miracle. And God had a miraculous way of announcing it. Now, we also remember whenever Mary received her announcement, that one of the proofs that God was using to her that this miracle could happen in her life was the miracle that was happening in the life of Elizabeth. And so we're going to go back to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to back up a little bit from where we talked about Mary, and we're going to talk about this whole situation with Elizabeth. And this is speaking of the birth of John the Baptist. So, who would you send to tell an elderly Zacharias that his wife, who was also well advanced in years, we want to be careful how we say these things, that his wife Elizabeth would bear a son in their old age? Well, God chose to send an angel to a seeking man. So let's look here in Luke chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 5 and read through verse 25. There were in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, certain priests. So there was a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Man, I underline that part. If you want to know more from God, then you do what God showed you today, and you keep doing it until he shows you more. And that's what this older couple was doing. In verse 7, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. You know, the fact that she was barren by others was viewed as that she was probably being cursed for something she had, some lack of favor from God. Now, we know in our day and age that that isn't necessarily the case, right? But that's how it was viewed by the other religious people around them. This would have been, a thing of disgrace for her that they had bore for many years. But do you see, no matter what anybody else thought about them, they just kept doing what they knew God wanted them to do. And I think that is a wonderful example to us today. No matter what anybody else thinks of you, you keep serving God with all your heart. You just do what he showed you. In verse 8, so it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Do you all know what the burning of incense represents? Prayers that are rising to God. So while he's in there burning the incense to the Lord, it's as though he was praying, and he probably was, don't you think? And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son. And you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people. So now, again, this was referred to by the same angel when he spoke to Mary to be proof that God was already doing miracles. Amen? God was doing miracles to send the forerunner to Christ. God was doing a miracle to send the Christ. He was doing it in their time. He had already announced it many years before. Who would he send to tell these men and women and these different things so that they would know for sure that this was from God? Maybe the same angel who announced the timing to Daniel over 500 years before. Isn't that an amazing thing, how God brings everything together? You know, it's just such an amazing thing. I'm going to tell you, every part of God's story is so amazing. And the more I read it, the more that I study it, the more amazed, the more in awe I am of God. I just became so in awe of God as I read through the genealogy in Matthew. How many of you guys have read through the whole genealogy at the beginning of Matthew? The first time you read that, were you in awe of it? The first time I read through it, I was like, oh my goodness, why are there all these names? And then you read through the Bible again, and you come back to that. And then you read through the Bible again, and you come back to that. And each time, I'm going to tell you, I become more and more in awe of God and how awesome He is. Do you realize who some of those names are in that genealogy? Guys, Jesus is not afraid to be associated with sinners. I'm just going to tell you. In His family line are some pretty scandalous situations. He's not ashamed to associate Himself with me. It gives me such hope and such joy. And to know the way that He associated Himself with these dear folks, and it was the exact same angel who announced this birth and the timing of it 500 years before to the prophet Daniel. Let's just read these couple of verses and we will see the amazing, miraculous power of God. Now, while I was speaking, praying, and confessing, do you see what Daniel was doing? He was being faithful whenever God sent this angel to speak to him. If you want to hear from God, you need to be faithful. You need to keep seeking after Him, just like Daniel did, just like Zacharias did, just like Mary did, just like Joseph did. Now, while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin, Daniel said, and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God from the holy for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. The same Gabriel. His lifetime. I don't know how long angels live. I guess perpetually. I don't know. But what's so amazing on this? The same angel was sent 500 years before to make this announcement. And his job description never changed. When it came time that Jesus would come, the same Gabriel, I can just imagine him standing before the throne of God saying, let me go, let me be the one, let me go tell him. Can you imagine for 500 years he'd been like getting excited about this? And maybe they're outside of time there, I don't know, but what I'm thinking is God's plan never changed. God's message never changed. God's messenger never changed. He just kept looking forward to the same thing. And you know what? There's some things God has said is going to still happen concerning Jesus. Folks, don't lose heart. Things may look wicked and things may look bad and they may even be really worse in your life than what anybody else knows about. But I want you to not lose heart because Jesus is coming back someday. It may look bad, but I'm going to tell you it's not hopeless. It may look rough, but God's still on His throne. It may look uncertain. We're not sure how it's going to work out. I might be struggling with sin that I just don't know if I'm ever going to overcome, but I'm going to tell you, you hang on to Jesus because you'll overcome it. You hang on to Jesus because He's coming back. You hang on to that thought that, you know what? Evil don't win in this world. Jesus did. You keep your heart set on Jesus and don't you dare break away and lose heart and fall down and stumble and fall back and give up. Don't you dare do that. You keep your eyes on Jesus. Just like He came the first time, exactly when God said, He's coming again. Oh, it's so wonderful. I can't wait. He's coming again. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that we would just keep our eyes on you, to know that you are still on your throne. Jesus, you are King of kings and Lord of lords. There is none like you. There's none above you. There's none as powerful as you. Lord, sometimes it looks like evil's winning down here. But Lord, what we know as your people is we just need to stay faithful. We need to keep our eyes on you. We need to keep our minds stayed on you, Lord. Just stayed on your promises. Stayed on your second coming. Stayed on the thought that Jesus is King. Help us not to lose heart, Lord. Just like you came the first time, you're coming again. Thank you that while you were here, Lord, you did at every point, at every decision, at everything that needed to be done according to your Father's will, you did it so that you could be the perfect sacrifice. Lord, if there's anybody here that, just as I spoke before, it isn't going to be my voice that can convince them. Not even the most important person in their life can really convince them to give their whole heart and soul to you. But Lord, I pray that you would reach down from heaven and convince them. I pray that you would speak. Speak into their heart. Speak into our heart, Lord Jesus. Speak that our soul may hear. Speak to our heart, Lord Jesus. Calm every doubt and fear. Speak to my heart. Oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart today. Oh, Lord, help us to hear your voice. Help us to be just as Mary, just as Joseph, just as even Zacharias. He was a little more reluctant, but they obeyed your voice. They did what you said. Oh, I love Mary's reply. Behold, made servant of the Lord. Let it be to me as you have said. Oh, I love Joseph's reply. He never said a word. He just did what you said. Oh, Lord, I love the next words that Zacharias was able to speak 9 months later. He was able to finally speak again when he said, his name shall be John. He obeyed your voice. Lord, help us to obey your voice today. Speak. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen.